What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
Welcome to episode 172 of the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for joining us.
And this is a kind of a fun episode for us because we love going to movies.
Yes.
And it's always fun when you know someone who has either made the movie, they're in the movie, they have something to do with the movie.
Yes.
And Kansas City's starting to become quite the market for local independent films.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's at least two that I can think of, but there's several different film festivals that happen here, and they're pretty big and attract a lot of people. And one that's happening this coming up weekend is the Kansas International Film Festival. And I mean, there's hundreds of different, over 100 different films to see here from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And there are some feature-length films. There are many feature-length films, but there are also the shorts. And I really like the shorts just because they, obviously, some of them are only a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes. So even if you have to sit through a few shorts before you get to the feature that you want to, that you're there to see, if you don't like it, it'll be over in a couple minutes.
True, you know.
And shorts are also, especially for aspiring filmmakers, they're a good way to start out, try and figure out the, you know, how to plot a story from the cinematography to acting, things like that. It's kind of a way to kind of dip your toe
into
the world of filmmaking.
Exactly. You know, and like, I mean, I've seen several short films and some, you know, sometimes even those tiny ones are just very impactful and fun and just interesting. And it's really, what I like about it is because when you see something like that, and maybe you're involved, like interested in film or want to be a filmmaker someday, you see that and it's kind of inspiring sometimes to be like, I can do that for sure. So it's a good place to go to get inspired, I would say, if you are interested in film.
And a little bit later on the podcast, in our second segment of interviews, we'll speak with a couple who were in their late 40s, early 50s, when they started filmmaking just about 10 years ago. And they are now producing films that are winning some pretty big awards.
Right, exactly. So it's never too late. And you'll hear from them in a little bit. But we are talking about the 19th annual Kansas International Film Festival. And we talked to the director, programming director, correct?
Yep, Brian Mossman.
Yes.
And he was kind of talking about how a lot of people, and I remember thinking this years ago before we actually covered and went to film festivals, it's like, it's so kind of overwhelming to think there are so many films, where do you even start?
Right. And, you know, I think also people think film festival, they're thinking like arty films, or like they're thinking there's probably nothing there that I'm going to like, which is completely not true. There are a wide range of genres. And Brian talks about that it can be a little overwhelming when you hear the word festival, but don't be afraid. Like, start small, go see a couple, and then if you like it, you can come back the next year and that sort of thing. So it is just about showcasing different talent, different voices. And it's just a really neat thing to see. So
okay. Well, let's get into Brian's interview. And I first asked him about how many movies he has already seen this year, and the answer will probably surprise you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the very beginning. Why did you decide at that time, 19 years ago, that you guys needed to form the Kansas International Film
Festival?
Well,
at that time, the president, Benjamin Mead, it was his idea. He thought, well, we play so many movies and there are so many films that do not play a theatrical run that we should play them as a festival. And that was maybe the next step for a theater, is to play a festival format where you get films from all over the world directors come in to, you know, attend their shows, and that's a chance for Kansas City to see stuff from all over the world.
And so how do you narrow it down to find those films that are perfect for you?
Well, that we started, I started in January. I saw this year about 300 films and shorts. I started in January. We have a screening crew. We screen all kinds of movies, and we try to pick the best of the crop to play in KIFF. But we only have 54 time slots, so we have 158 films, including shorts, from 29 countries and 50 filmmakers attending. So there's a lot. We have something for everyone. It could be a studio film. It could be animation. We really showcase the local filmmakers. We call it KIFF Local, and they're very well attended.
So how has the festival changed over those 19 years?
I think the quality. I think what we get from the filmmakers that have attended in years past is they go to other film festivals, and the filmmakers say, hey, what's a good festival to attend? And our name comes up. So I think we get better product year after year.
So over those years, have you kind of figured out what the audience appreciates and trying to figure out how to work that in for the next, for this film festival?
Well, I think it's like maybe 4 years ago, we only did features. And then so we started the shorts, which opens up maybe a younger audience. Some people don't like shorts and some people love shorts, because if you don't like the movie in 5 or 6 minutes, a new one's going to start. Right. So that, and we draw a younger audience than the regular patrons that come to the theater. And we draw not only locally, we draw worldwide. So we have a lot of people that have never been to Kansas City that sample these movies. And, you know, if you've never been to a film festival and you like movies, you should, because you participate. You vote on the movies. You get to talk to the directors. And it's a lot of fun if you're interested in independent movies.
All right, let's talk about the local industry. How is that? How have you seen that change over those 2 decades?
Well, you know, I think that Kansas City has so many different film organizations that we thought, well, we'll start with KIFF Local and we'll bring all the different filmmakers to our festival, because filmmakers are like maybe actors. They all talk. And I think we just get a very good selection of movies from the local, and they're very well attended, because, you know, if 5 or 10 people work on the movie, they're all going to show up. So you have a kind of a built-in audience.
What about those audience members that are finding this film for the first time because of your festival?
Well, I think there'll be repeat customers next year. I mean, that's a lot of people who come to, I think I had like 150,000 people go through my doors last year, and a lot of them don't come to the festival because they don't know where to start. And I always tell people, don't let the word festival scare you. What you should do is just look at the schedule, find 1 or 2 movies, sample it for this year. You buy a ticket like you buy a normal movie ticket. Maybe next year buy a festival pass and see. You can see probably 18 different programs. Spend the whole week with me. Some people take vacation at that time.
Really?
I don't.
Okay, so you said you've seen how many movies this year?
About 300.
300?
Yeah.
So where do you, like, you kind of have to...
I haven't seen my girlfriend since January.
She doesn't want to go to the movies with you?
No, she goes to the movies with me, but...
Or maybe she doesn't want to go to the movies
after the festival, she'll get more of my time.
So it's a long year for her.
It's not just January. I mean, it's all year round. I mean, it's a lot of work, but we love it.
All right, let's talk about this year's festival. What are some of the highlights?
Well, I think our opening night movie is from a local filmmaker, Stephen Pruitt, The Land. Another opening movie, it's a fun movie, because there's so many serious documentaries, heavy films in a festival. The one called The Long Haul is about male dancers and why they are male dancers. But they're not like the Chippendales, they're just average Joe. It's a fun film. Thursday's our kickoff. It's about a local filmmaker. Last time I saw Jesse, it's about Jesse Ross in 2006 that went to Chicago for an academic convention. He left a convention, like a meeting, it has never been seen. That's an entirely free show. It gives you a sampling of what KIFF has to offer, being a documentary. So it's 7:15 on Thursday night. Just stop by and get a ticket.
Got it. Where do you see your film festival going in the next few years? You guys were talking earlier about how the movie industry has definitely changed over the last 20 years and where it looks like it's changing for the next 20 years.
You know, I don't know that it's going to be changing in the sense that we have something for everyone, from the shorts to the features, the documentaries. I think the quality seems to be getting better every year because more and more past filmmakers tell their friends. And I think that's probably maybe one of the things that year after year gets better. What we'd really like to do, this is kind of a form of sponsorship, but is if we can get some more cash to give back to the filmmakers, cash prizes. We give some, but we would love to give more back to the filmmakers. Now, what we do, up until this year, the jury award nominees, being the documentaries and the narratives, are the best of the non-studio films. Every year, but this year, we would have the jury award winner is announced on Saturday for one of our opening night parties. They would get a second run. This year, they're going to get a run after the festival. And there's some really good ones. The top three documentaries deal with the environment. So there's
very topical.
Very, very topical.
Okay, what about that movie-going experience? Why do you think that that's still going to stick around? Because you guys were, again, talking earlier about the streaming services, how movies are playing not just on, you know, in theaters, but also on streaming, sometimes at the same time. What's that movie-going experience that's going to keep people coming back?
You know, my booker for the regular films, he always asks me, there are some films, like VOD, video on demand, they're streaming at the same time or a week later. If it fits my audience, that doesn't bother me because I do very well with that. I really think that if you love movies, part of it is participating with the audience, all the reactions, the emotions. That's part of it. You can have a great screening room at home. For me, it's just not the same. Yeah, that theater popcorn to taste.
You can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong
popcorn.
With that.
Well, and also how you were talking about when you come to a film fest like this one, you're able to talk with the people who put this film together.
Well, that's one of the coolest things is you see a movie and there's whatever the topic might be, is if you have a question, the filmmaker's right there. You can discuss it with him or her. Why they did it, or maybe get some clarification, maybe something you don't understand. That's part of the fun. But, you know, it's like when you go to a film festival, these people love movies, and you're going to meet people from around the world that come, and you just talk movies, or what are you going to see? It's like you have a grocery list of what you're going to see or what you've seen that's really, really good. So people really do talk back and forth about the festival, about the films.
Why do you love movies?
You know, I always ask people, and I could ask you, I grew up with six boys with a black and white TV. We had three channels, and we went to the movie. My first movie was Jungle Book, and I couldn't believe the color. That's one thing that stands out. Another one was Wizard of Oz. We saw it on a black and white TV. We had our color TV, and after the first 20 minutes, it was sepia tone. They ruined it. It went into color. I was used to the black and white. But, you know, I think just seeing, it's big, it's on the screen. I just love it, and I think my customers on a regular basis, they also love it. And with a film festival, there's much more enthusiasm about seeing the films and talking about the movies.
It's all about that conversation.
That's right.
Excellent. All right, Brian, thank you. Is there anything else you want to mention?
No, I think I mentioned it earlier, is don't let the word festival scare you if you want to come see a movie. Just buy the ticket. The thing is, don't wait till the day of the show, because film festivals, you don't know if you're going to have a small audience or if you have a big audience, you may not get in, because some of the films will sell out.
All right, so Brian has a really, really cool job.
Just very cool job.
Go all around the globe.
Right.
All the way around the globe and find all of these films that they could feature at the Kansas International.
I mean, seriously, how cool is that? I mean, man. So, What a neat job. But the good thing is you can go and see it. See all these films that they handpicked. And like he said, you can get involved. You can vote for the films, and you can meet the filmmakers and hear them listen about the process. And so that's all just cool stuff. So
and inspire you. I mean, we've always talked about the idea of making a film.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously you are in Texas right now, so you can attend. But I'm going to attend. I love being able to talk to the directors and the filmmakers after a film that you've just seen, because you have tons of questions, especially the films that are shot locally and you recognize some of the places that they have filmed scenes, including in this film that we're going to be talking about next, The Land. I remember it was 2000, just last year, 2018, and I'm part of Main Street Parkville. And we had these filmmakers reach out to us and say, hey, you, in around 4th of July, and said, hey, we would love to come down to the carnival and shoot a couple scenes for our film. And some of the board was like, oh my gosh, what is this? And I'm like, these are local filmmakers.
Right. Let them. This is a good thing.
Yeah. This is great. This is great for Parkville. And right. So afterwards, after they shot these scenes, they sent us a couple quick clips. And it was so neat. Like, everyone was like, this is amazing. And I'm like, yes, this is what we need. More local films shot in the area, so people are a little bit more
this is why Missouri should also work on its tax incentives film credits,
and then force Kansas to do the same thing because we're right there on the state line, and Missouri definitely needs to bring them back. And it's funny, so this next couple, Stephen and Mary Pruitt, they were telling me that, I can't remember if we recorded it or not, but they said that they were actually one of the last filmmakers in Missouri back in 2013 that had applied for film tax credits, but by the time they finished the film, the tax credits had expired.
Oh no.
And so it forced them to find extra financing to pay the crew, because that was the most important thing to them, because they focus on hiring and casting locally. Since we're talking about it, let's get into their interview where they're talking about their film, The Land, which has premiered in other places, but it's having its Kansas City debut this Friday at the Kansas International Film Festival.
All right, take a listen.
Okay, well, let's first start out with, how did you become filmmakers?
I would guess the best way to explain that would be just a midlife crisis or ran amok. And we started in 2008 with our first feature called Works in Progress. We'd never made a short before. We just really went from zero to feature film. And most people think that's crazy, and it was, but frankly, it turned out really well. So we kind of got addicted from that point and just kind of went for it.
So what was that first feature?
It's called Works in Progress. It was ended up playing all over the country, got picked up for distribution in Hollywood, and we were off to the races.
Wow. So how did you both get to that point where you wanted to make a feature?
Well, Steve and I pretty much have done everything together. We've been married for almost 38 years, so we've collected art together, and we've raised our girls together. So that it made sense that we should do that together. Plus,
because she's crazy too.
Yeah, I mean it was. I often say, I said, there's a fine line between support and capitulation. He was pretty determined that it was going to be done. So
where did the love of film come from?
Well, I've loved films my whole life, and it's really interesting. I thought about making them when I was much younger, but in fact, I did make this tiny little awful short, when I was a kid, but, set it aside. But the technology has come to us at this time with the ability to shoot with digital film, as it were, and you get the same look that you get with the 35 millimeter films that cameras that would have cost $250,000 back then. It's just an extraordinary change in technology, mm-hmm. and it allowed little people like us to make beautiful Hollywood quality films.
So where do you even start? So you had this idea that you wanted to do this, but then where did you go from there to figure out how to produce this?
That's a really good point. The one thing I was absolutely certain of was that we could write a good script. We had actually written a play together and did nothing with it, but it was a great experience. And so we decided, well, let's just base it off of this first play that we'd written. And it turned out that by the time we were all done, the only thing that remained was the name of the two characters. Everything else got changed, not one single line. But we knew that we'd need some people to help us. We actually hired a recent film school graduate to assist us. And he was the only one that really knew anything, because the rest of us were all first-timers. But I was quite confident that we'd be able to pull it off, and we did. So I'm just really grateful for that.
And here's one of the reasons we could do that. Steve mentions that we began this sort of as, a bout of insanity. But he'd also mentioned that the technology came to us. And because of the technology, one thing that we could do that other filmmakers using film could not was take our time.
Right.
If that take didn't work, you really haven't wasted anything more than a little bit of space, and you can just re-record over that. And that made it possible for people who have never done it before to give it a try.
And we did several, multiple shot takes. You're just like, you know.
That didn't work.
In our most recent film, The Land, which will be playing here at the Kansas International Film Festival on Friday, we had one shot, which particularly difficult shot. We did over 100 takes, but we got it. And it was, I was not willing to compromise the film. I wanted that shot. And it turned out really well in the end. But of course, we had to do 99 failures before we got to the one success.
Right.
And if you come to the film, then you can ask which shot that was.
That's good. I like that. So, do you have a background in farming, either one of you or someone that's close to you?
That's the inevitable question.
Right?
Seems like all of our films have a significant rural component. But no, we were both suburban children. But I must say that when we wrote the first film and we began and ended out in the rural areas, when we were out there, we just loved the look of it. And from that point on, it was just like, you know what, there's stories that we can tell out here where literally there's a place you can go where it doesn't matter where you turn the camera. It's a beautiful shot waiting for you. And that's really what we're after is trying to make beautiful works of art. And it works.
So you found the beauty, but where did you find the story and how did you know which story?
I generally the guy who comes up with the story idea, and then Mary and I sit down and you know hash it out, writing it. But I've never had a shortage of you know what I think are great stories to tell, and then Mary is always able to really to work with me to you know bring out the best stuff that I would have never considered, and she does, and it makes it all the better.
There's sort of a running joke that you know Steve will say, oh, I got this great idea for a movie, and I'm like, just put it in the queue. I mean, we have endless films. The other thing about shooting in the rural areas, Steve and I love Missouri and Kansas. I mean, we're not from here. We moved here in 2001.
We're never moving away.
Yeah.
We love
so
this place.
We really love the idea about developing the industry here locally. We love to cast locally. We hire locally. We shoot locally. And there's so many really beautiful places to go. Works in Progress was a lot of urban shooting, and then after that we turned our attention to the more rural areas, but we've loved doing that.
What was the timeline? How long was that whole process from the time you first came up with the idea to the time that you wrote it, to shooting it, to editing
right.
it alone.
It's believe it or not, the editing's about the easiest part. Typically do that on the day of the shoot. I would get home at night and it's just like, okay, well, I remember the scene very well. I remember which takes I really like. But the from beginning to end, from the inspiration to completion, lately it's been about a year. From the time that we thought about this idea, and then we'd sit down and write, generally over, I would say, 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And then we start shooting. We shoot over a long period of time. We have a tiny crew. It's Mary, me, and 4 other people. And that means that we have to, you know, kind of take things kind of slow. We don't have slews of bodies to throw at things. And so we'll shoot for three and a half months full time, generally during the summers. And when it's all said and done, we look at it and say, gee, do we have a film here or not? And so far we have.
Wow. Okay, so I have to ask, how did you find Parkville? And you thought that the 4th of July carnival would be a perfect backdrop.
You know, we visit a shop up there in Parkville periodically, Cool Vintage Watches right there on Main Street. And while we were there one day, we saw a sign in the window for the Parkville 4th of July Fair, and we knew we needed a sequence involving a fair because we wanted our couple here from the land to actually talk about how they went on their first date to this one of those fairs. And so we contacted the folks there at the Parkville Association, and they said, yeah, let's do it. And it was happily the hottest day of the year. We almost died, but it turned out really well.
Excellent. Well, look, again, it looked beautiful.
Thank
on,
you.
On camera. Okay, so let's talk about the acting in this film. How did you find the actors?
When I had the idea for the film, we were actually planning, yes, kind of tying back together, we were planning to do a different film when we got the idea for The Land. The script wasn't coming together the way I wanted. I just like, you know, we were really far into it. I mean, 80, 90 pages, and it still wasn't working. And I'm not sure it's ever will work, but so we kind of set that aside. And Mary went off to a film festival in Mississippi to visit a friend of hers. And while she was gone, I had this idea in the back of my mind to do this film called The Land. And so I went down to the basement and wrote the first 50 pages in the 4 days she was gone. And when she came back, I gave it to her and I said, well, would you read this, see what you think? And she goes, well, we got to do this movie. So when from there, I had in mind one man to play the lead, and his name is Herman Johansson, who was at the, he was actually in one of our earlier films, but he lived in Hollywood at the time. And so I wrote him, I said, Herman, I'm interested in you. Would you be willing to move back to Kansas City to do this picture? And he said, yes. He just, you know, take a peek at the script. He loved it. And then he suggested we look at a couple of actors, one of which was our female lead, Kathleen Worfel. Who and the two of them together, we did a screen test. We had Herman fly back and do a screen test with the two of them, and it was just like, I believe these people are a couple. Mm-hmm. They just blew it away.
Actually, Herman's done two movies with us, and in that respect, you know, as we said, we like to cast locally. Steve often, when we're writing something, he will have a particular actor in mind, and sometimes that works out, and sometimes it doesn't. But right. Fortunately, Herman was more than willing. In fact, yeah. He just won Best Actor Award in the...
Chesapeake Film Festival. Yes. He was picked for when The Land played there. He was picked as the Best Actor of the festival, and that was quite an accomplishment for him. We were really pleased for him.
Wow. And you guys have also won some awards with
we
this
have.
Film.
The film has taken Best Picture at several festivals. And
Critics' Choice,
all mm-hmm. kinds of things. So we've been very gratified with the success of the film, and we're really just hoping a lot of people here in Kansas City come out and have a chance to see it.
So what's it like? Brian and I were talking a little bit about the experience at a film fest where you actually get to talk with the filmmakers. What kind of conversations have you guys been having with audience members in other fests?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Some people ask very technical questions, mm-hmm. And which we're happy to address. A lot of times people ask us questions that we never even considered. Somebody at our last festival in Indiana said, gosh, I noticed a lot of red. And frankly, neither one of us had ever given any thought to it, but there is. And so it was just like, well, I came up with some answer of the spur of the moment. I'm not sure it was valid, but yeah, the feedback is always positive, but you get some remarkable questions, and sometimes they actually lead to ideas for another kernel of a film.
And you know, one of the things that somebody mentioned earlier about how film is so much a community activity, you know, you actually gain more by coming to an environment where you can actually sit with other people. And the Q&A is a perfect example of that, because during The Land, so many of the people in the audience have said things like, you nailed that perfectly. Right. You captured farm life. And of course, because we are from suburbia, that's really quite gratifying.
Praise,
yes.
Right. Yeah.
And then they go on and they ask questions about, you know, basically what's our opinion of things going on in rural America at this time. And so it really opens it up to not only the technical, but then also to the social aspects.
Right.
And I agree that first, that 3-minute teaser I watched this morning, I'm like, I know someone like that.
Yes.
I grew up in farm community. Like, it was right on the nose.
Well, thank you.
So that's why I was like, they have to have some kind of background in farming, like something.
Yeah, but. No, it's just that when we go out there and talk to the people, I mean, several times when we were filming The Land, Mary, who's usually the behind the scenes, mm-hmm. Dealing with the location owners, things like that, and people, come up to us and say, hey, what are you guys doing? Well, we're shooting a movie. And one person said, well, tell me about the film. And Mary then would tell them, and they'd say,
that's my story.
That's my story.
Or that's my brother's story. In fact, yeah. I would really encourage, a lot of times people that live in the small towns, they don't come in to the city necessarily, go to the film festival. This is a film that they really need to see. And they will want other people to see it too, because it really addresses so much of what I think gets left behind in a lot of filmmaking projects.
Okay, so what are you looking forward to the most for this film festival, since it's local, it's
right.
home?
This is, we're right at the end of the film festival tour for this film. We actually opened in Hollywood at the Chinese Theater back in June, and it's played all over the country since then. This will be our Kansas City debut, and I'm hoping that people come out, take a peek at it, realize that it's a great film and want to see more of it.
Excellent. Okay, what's next?
Next is a film we're writing right now called Dust, D-U-S-T. And again, it's a rural film. It's about a photographer from Chicago who inherits land from an uncle he didn't know who lived in Kansas and Missouri area.
Okay, so what inspired this one?
I don't know. It just these things just
well,
happen.
Okay, so I will say that all of our movies deal with a question that we're trying to address. And in this particular one, the question is, can a wrong be made right?
Right.
And it truly deals with, and you know, Steve and I, we're older. So a lot of times, you know, we're looking
at life. Hey, we're not that older.
We're a little bit older. So we find, you know, as you're looking back over your life, you know, there's things that you've done and you've gone, wow. You know, if I could do that over again. And in this particular case, it's a significant want to do over.
Right.
So the question is, can a wrong be made right? And I really think that will resonate with everyone
right.
in the audience.
The land, our question we ask is, are you more than what you do? And it's, you know, so many people, particularly baby boomers, who have, you know, grown up, raised by the greatest generation, have this work, work, work mentality. And then at the end of their careers, they look back and say, is there anything left? Is this all I was? And so that's the question we're addressing with the land.
Nice. All right. Anything else you'd like to mention?
I think that you've done a great job.
We want to see you at the movies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when does it premiere?
Friday night, 7:40, right here at the Ranch Mart Theater at 95th and Mission Road.
Excellent. You good? I guess one more thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about local filmmaking.
Yeah.
Are you guys based in Missouri?
No, we live in Overland Park, but yes.
But Missouri had tax credits for a number of years.
That's a sore spot with us, actually.
Yes. So what about Kansas?
There are no film credits of Kansas of any sort. Missouri, we were actually the last film when we made our miniseries Terminal, which is available on Amazon. But we were the last people to be granted film credits. And then at the very end of the film, when we were waiting for our check to come, the things got frozen and we didn't get the tax credits. And so we suddenly had an $83,000 hole in our budget. And so we started ripping art off the walls and gear off the truck, trying to make payroll. But in the end, we finished it. But so it's kind of a sore subject
for us talking about film credits. And we finished it. And again, the local community, we actually had some investors see our first film, Works in Progress, through one of the Missouri, programs. And they said, what can we do? We loved this film. And Steve said, we need to make payroll. And they just wrote a check. And it was one of those wonderful things where it was all done in this area. And that was just fabulous. We were able to finish the production and move forward. But you're right. Kansas does not have that.
Right. Why is it important to have a strong local film community?
I think that it's because there are stories that uniquely apply to this area that are never going to be told by anyone except the people who live here. And I think that's really what it boils down to in the bottom line. I mean, every place is unique, obviously, and every place has unique stories. And the only people that are going to tell those stories are the people who know them, who love the stories, who love the people that are involved with the stories, and who are going to take the time and make the effort to bring those stories to life.
I think it's sad, too, when you have local people who then have to move other places.
Right.
To get into filmmaking because there's...
Yeah, it says that the industry is obviously based in other cities, but you know what's interesting is that we intend to work. If some miracle, you know, we made the big time, we would still be making our movies right here in Kansas, Missouri. This is where we want to live. This is the stories we want to tell. I can't say that for everyone, but it's certainly true of us.
Well, and something else, you know, that we've really found with a lot of the crew members who maybe have started with us and then they move to California and then they come back, and what they realize is when you're in Los Angeles, you're not making film the way you do when you're independent filmmakers, where you have the opportunity to have your fingers in everything.
Right.
You're moving the light from here
point A to point
there.
B. That was your job.
That's it. And so people come back and they go, you know, I tried it. That's not what I want. Independent filmmaking gives the directors of photography, they give the gaffers, the grips, everyone. They have far more input, and they have their fingerprints on the film, and that's a lot of fun to watch.
And more of a collaboration.
Right.
It is.
Absolutely true. Especially on a crew of our size, we're working with so few people. You know, I always want the best way. You know, I think I've got the great idea in mind, but sometimes somebody else will say, you know, what if we got this shot from this angle? It's just like, I like that. And so we'll go with it.
Yeah. Excellent.
So if they don't inspire you, if you're thinking...
Really, though.
Any inkling to maybe start a film, a screenplay, something like that, they should be all the inspiration you need to figure out how you're going to do it. And I know, and if you're in the Kansas City area, you know, go down to the premiere of The Land. It's at 7:40 on Friday. They will be there, and some of their crew will be there too. So if you have any questions, and they are so nice, I know that. I know. I'm going to probably be reaching out to them for some advice on a couple things, and you should too.
There is a large filmmaking community in the Kansas City area, so if you are interested, there are there's the Kansas City Film Society. There are some different filmmaking groups. There's just a lot of people you could meet and connect with who can help you figure out what you want to do. I think it's always just fascinating to hear the process behind films and how they come together and just kind of what they have to do to get it done. I just always find that really fascinating because it's you see this end product that is so like nice and polished and everything, but it's like, maybe that comes from being in news and knowing how things behind the scenes can go chaotic, but everything looks good on air. It's just really kind of, fascinating. So it's always neat. So you can go and hear about the process from actual filmmakers.
And the way they kind of have it set up, because one of them, I think it's, yeah, Steven's a professor at UMKC, and he's not a film professor. He's an economics professor.
Yeah.
And so what they do is it takes them about a year from the beginning of them writing it to starting to produce it to then shooting it. And then they take the summer, since he's off from school, to shoot it. And then the fall is when they edit it and they get it ready to send it out to the festivals to hopefully get some publicity where then they can, you know, move on to bigger and better things. And they were also saying, I thought that was fascinating, is that not just locally, but they really try and focus on hiring this in this area first, but if they get an actor like they did with The Land, they bring him back, who's in Hollywood. He comes back for a couple of months to shoot it. And then they kind of also kind of build it around the story. And they have dozens of ideas of stories that they're like, I don't know if we're ever going to get to it, but we try and figure out what's going to work for us for that year. So there's this interesting strategy.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. The Kansas International Film Festival, it is from November 8th to the 4th or the 14th at the Glenmore Arts Theater in Leawood. So you got a whole week of film, and you can find out more at kansasfilm.com. That's their website, kansasfilm.com. So you can find the schedule and ticket prices and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And we will see you hopefully at the movies.
Yeah, I hope so. So, so that's it. Enjoy. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. If you guys want to kind of be a part of our conversation, you can always reach out to us through email, agalandagay@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Facebook. We're also on Instagram.
And Twitter. Yeah. We're on the social medias. So.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Till next time, guys.
Okay. Bye.